guess I have to use this mic. Well, good morning, Bay Cities. All right, it's good to see you all. Why am I up here? That's the question. Well, actually, as you know, maybe some of you don't know this, but Jim is in Guatemala right now. And no, I'm not up here to give a message, but what I am up here to do is a couple of announcements and then introduce our speaker. So just as a thought, what happened to me was I was at home relaxing with my wife, and we were talking, and all of a sudden my phone rang, and I look at my phone, and it's Jim Makinga's name, and I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, what is going on? And so I answer the phone. I'm like, hey, Jim, what's happening? And he said, you know, I'm going to the airport tonight. So I thought, oh, maybe he needs a ride to the airport. But then he told me Jim, that Ben was taking him. So I said, okay, that's okay. I said, so what's next? And he says, well, you know, he says, Kenny, you know, I just need you to introduce our speaker Sunday. And I said, oh, okay. I said, all right, I can do that. Because, you know, I'm going to make up a word right now. Jim is what I call a messer with her. He likes to mess with me. So, like, I think it was last Sunday, I was standing in the back, and he said, Kenny, start. I said, what? I said, what's wrong? He said, he started handing me his sermon notes. I was like, what are you doing? And he said, I'm just kidding. I said, oh, okay. So he likes to mess with me. So when I got that call, I thought, oh, boy, Jim is messing with me. So remember, just an announcement. Remember, Easter Sunday is coming. So please come, you guys. Encourage, bring family. It's going to be great. We're going to have great music and a great message from Jim. So and God is going to speak through him to our hearts. So that'll be a blessing. And also, the week before Easter, we have communion service that night. What time is that going to be, Sandy? At 6. So that'll be the Sunday before Easter. So if you guys come, it'll be a great communion service, okay? So our speaker today, all right, my wife told me when we were talking about it, she said, you know what? She said, I guess you can say like Charlie is like Uncle Charlie. You know, I thought, Uncle Charlie. And I thought for a minute, I said, I don't know if I want to say that, you know, because Charlie's not that old, you know. He's not that much older than us, so. But, you know, hey, spiritual uncle, that's good. You know, he's one of Jim's best friends, and we are glad to have him with us today. So he's going to bring a message to us that's going to encourage our hearts. So let's welcome Charlie Keller. One love, one heart, let's get together and feel all right. Hear the children crying. One love. Hear the children crying. One heart. Saying give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel all right. Saying let's get together and feel all right. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I want to be that guy right there. I'd like to be that guy right now. Like Kenny, I got that call from Jim. I told Kenny earlier, I listened to his message. I watched the message that he did, and he did a great job. I thought that was pretty cool. Is Mark still in the room? Oh, there you are. You're a rapper now. I looked at your son, I said, Mark's a rapper, and he goes, well, it's great to be back. It's been a while, and it's great to see some familiar faces, and I just love being with you guys. You're always so positive, and so appreciate that. So I was walking in this morning, and I was about ready to reach for the front door, and I got a call from Jim, and he is in Guatemala, and he goes, I got to bring you here. You won't believe what I'm seeing. This guy is amazing. He said, this guy's going to bring 125 to 150 severely handicapped kids here because he was watching a few of these kids die every week, and he said, I can't take it anymore. He's bringing them all in. He has no idea how he's going to take care of these kids. But that's what just Jim just told me as I was walking in today. I'm thinking, wow. Can you imagine just leaving your life today and going to Guatemala and say, I'm going to take care of these kids and, you know, for the rest of their life maybe? Incredible. We got something to show you. On the screen. So you think Jim's the kind of guy that likes people? Well, it's great to be here. Today's theme, a generous life. Now, I'm going to date myself. You guys remember Can of Camera? There's a lot of old people in here, right? Years ago on Can of Camera, children were used in an experiment about generosity. The children were placed by themselves in a room with a plate of cookies. On the plate were two cookies, one big cookie and one small cookie. The adult left the room, and each kid was allowed to take a cookie. And you know what? They all took the big cookie. So one boy was challenged as to why he took the biggest cookie. Alan Funt, remember Alan? The host told the boy, "All you left me to eat was the little cookie. I would have eaten the little cookie and given you the biggest one." Without a blink, the boy responded, "Then you would have got the one you wanted." Let's pray as we get started this morning. Lord, we are grateful to be here in this house, worshiping you, lifting up your name in praise. And now as we draw attention to your word, Lord, I pray that we can be encouraged from what we hear, that we might be taught through your Holy Spirit, and we might leave here today to reflect on our life, to see what truly is a generous life. For we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible, and there's more promises, over 2,000, related to generosity than any other subject. In fact, the second subject of number-wise is love, 700 to over 2,000 related to generosity. In Proverbs chapter 11, in your notes there, it says, a generous person will prosper, which means we'll be successful. We all want to be successful. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed, which means to be renewed, to be replenished. Don't we all like being around generous people? But let's take a step back, because we need to till the soil here a little bit. We need to go back to where this starts so we can build up to this point. So I want to go back and look at, you guys might remember this short series that Jim did called Journey with Jesus. You guys remember that? It was a mini-series, wasn't it? I'm not sure. It was 168 parts. I'm not sure. Not many people can have a series that lasts for over 3 years and not kill their church. So, I'm proud of Jim. And his goal in that message, that series, those 3 years, was that you would fall in love with Jesus. That's what he wanted you to do. That you would make Jesus preeminent in your life, which means a few things. There's a lot of notes here. None of them really are in your bulletin, so we'll just keep moving forward here. But the first is that Jesus would become the priority in your life, that he would become number one. Secondly, that each day you would wake up and want to follow him again, that you would persevere in your faith, that you would pick up your cross every day and follow him. And the result of that would be kind of what we're talking about today. It is what we're talking about today, that you would invest your lives in the things of God. That's what generosity is. These would be the key to having the abundant life that Jesus talks about in John chapter 10, where he said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So what can get in the way of making Jesus preeminent in your life? There's a lot of things I thought about this week. First is busyness in Southern California. If you're not overscheduled, you're just a loser, right? If you have any spare time, there's got to be something wrong with you. Our other favorite one is pride, right? My way is always the best way. Thinking about Guatemala, we don't have to deal with that. Our life can become very comfortable here, can't it? In fact, many times we don't call on Jesus until we really need him to come through for us. And the thing Jim and I have talked about a lot is that a lot of things in church life, church stuff, can get in the way of making Jesus preeminent in your life. And Jim and I have drawn this circle. He actually showed me this one time. He draw a circle, put Jesus in the middle. And then on the outside, just put all these things like friends and fellowship at church, the teachings, the worship, scriptures, the buildings, facilities, the various ministries, the outreach like Jim's doing today. These are all awesome things. They're incredible. But I've read articles on how to grow a church that's 10 pages long and the name Jesus is never even in it. So we can lose focus on the big picture of making Jesus preeminent in our life, even in church life. But let's go back to where it starts. For when we first responded to that simple call from Jesus in our life to follow him, that marked a new beginning for each of us. You might say that it was at that point that you got saved, or that you dedicated your life to the Lord. In the Gospels, Jesus simply approached some of these guys and said, "Hey, follow me." And we read the words, "They got up and they followed him," right? No four spiritual laws given. No, you know, they just got up, left their life. Maybe not a good career choice for many of them, right? Most of them lost their lives because of this journey they went on with Jesus. But that was their starting point. Then as you take that starting point and you begin to learn and read and understand the principles and teachings of Jesus and what he wants to teach us and how he wants us to live, things begin to change inside, don't they? Something's happening. We can see ourselves changing on the inside. So this week I happen to be doing some premarital counseling for this wedding I'm going to do in a few months. And I was thinking about this. In 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, we're teaching these young people about what real love is, where it says love is patient, love is kind. So we just take an example there. Love is patient. Okay, I'm a new follower of Jesus, and I'm not very patient. So I'm going to try this thing, this Jesus thing on. I'm going to try being patient. And then you realize, wow, this works pretty good. Works a lot better than being impatient. You go, okay, I'll move a little forward then. So love is kind. If you look up the word kind in the dictionary, my picture probably wouldn't be there. I can be a little harsh, but I'm going to try kindness. Try a little kindness. Works pretty good. Wow, this is pretty good. So we continue on, right? That's the process of being a follower of Jesus. We hand over more and more things. We continue to grow in our trust of Jesus. And we notice that more and more things are happening on the inside. We're loving the things that Jesus loves more, and we're getting rid of the things that are holding us back. This is the process of spiritual transformation, and it's happening in us. We all have our own testimony about this. One of my mentors, and a guy that's come back in my life as a great friend, started a church in Orange County about 30 years ago with a few hundred people, and he looked up about 3 years later, and there were 12,000 people in his church. It was one of the first mega churches in the United States. And now you fast forward about 40 years later, and he's done with that, and he's now doing a lot of international ministry, and he says to me, "Charlie, I'm doing the hardest thing I've ever done." I go, "What's that?" "I'm trying to follow the principles and teachings of Jesus." Incredible to hear from him. You might say it's the process of exchanging the building of your kingdom, which we like a lot, with the helping of building God's kingdom. And many of us don't like to admit it, but most of the time, we like our kingdom. We might say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," as we lay down at night, and then the next morning, we're off building our own kingdom. For some of us, we don't surrender our kingdom until it gets burned to the ground or has a major earthquake. Then we realize that building God's kingdom is a better option. So over time, as you trust Jesus more and more, you feel that your worldview is changing. Your way of seeing yourself and your world, God is changing that. You might look the same on the outside, but you know that Jesus is changing your heart. A couple years ago, I got a call from an old high school basketball friend. Hadn't talked to him in probably 20 years. And I picked up the phone. It's one of those things where you pick up the phone, I hear his voice, and it's like we just got off the court from 20 years ago. He goes, "Charlie," I go, "What?" "My mom died. Could you do her memorial?" I'm going, "Sure, I'll be there." So I go to Sun City, spend the whole day out there with him and his family, do the memorial for his mom, go back to his house. We're sitting there at the table having lunch, and his sister that knew me from high school was pretty quiet. And then about halfway through lunch, she looks at me with this really almost pained look on her face. She said, "How did you ever become a pastor?" I wasn't mad. I totally got it, right? Totally got it. That whole process that we're always going to be in until we get to be with Jesus, right? That transformation. I looked the same on the outside. I was that same sort of semi-criminal. But on the inside, I knew I wasn't. I have never been arrested. In your notes, 1 Samuel 16, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. Thank God. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. People look at the outward appearance, and that's where we can become religious. We can be dead spiritually on the inside, but we can do the nice things on the outside. But the Lord looks at our heart. That's why I like the word Jesus followers. Followers of Jesus, we're doing the best we can to learn from him, to change our ways, to be changed from the inside out. So before we talk about the generous life, we needed to get to this point to see how Jesus lays the foundation in our life to do good things. Now we can look at five areas to consider about generosity. The first is, generosity starts with God. In John 3:16, you guys ever heard this verse? For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he sent his son to show us what in the heck we're supposed to be doing on this big dirt ball called earth. We realize as followers of Jesus, we recognize that everything that we have comes from him. This body that we inhabit, the air in our lungs, the people in our lives, our family and friends, the way we provide for ourselves, our job, our very soul. And then he says that he's gone to prepare a place for us for eternity, right? Jesus has settled our past, he's given us a reason to live today, and he's provided a place for us in eternity. Everything we have is from Jesus. There's a story about this dad. He's on the way home from his son's t-ball game. So he pulls through McDonald's and gets his son a big thing of French fries. Hands it off to his son. And while they're driving home, his dad sort of smells those fries and he reaches over and grabs one. His son looks at him and goes, "You can't have that. Those are my fries." The dad immediately thought two things. My son had forgot that me, his dad, was the source of all fries. He would have no fries if it wasn't for me. I drove him here. I paid for him. I got him. I handed them to him. I am the source of all fries. And the second thing the dad thought, I could take them all away if I wanted to. I bought the fries. I provided the fries. I could take them away if I wanted. Or if he had the right attitude, I could get him a truckload of fries. I am the source of all fries. The father was disappointed because he wanted to teach his son generosity so that he could then in turn be generous to those in his life. Everything we have comes from Jesus. Jesus is the source of all fries. Generosity starts with Jesus, which leads to number two. Generosity is the natural overflow of your journey with Jesus. So here's the big idea for the message. You ready? Generosity is love in action. So do you think this guy in Guatemala who's going to take care of 150 severely handicapped kids has got a life of generosity? Incredible. When I told people I was going to do a message on generosity, I said, what's the first thing you think of? Every person without exception said, oh, you're going to talk about money. And I go, I'm not going to talk about money. Now, it might be part of being generous. I get that. But think about this guy in Guatemala. Taking care of these kids, that's his life mission. I mean, I'm just blown away. It's the overflow of your journey with Jesus. Generosity is love in action. You can give without loving, that's legalism, but you can't love without giving. Here's an example. I don't know about your grocery stores here, but it seems like this time of the year where I live, whenever you walk into a grocery store, there's Girl Scouts camped right out in front. I'm already about 15 boxes deep into these Girl Scout cookies at home with my neighbors. I get out of my car and I'm like, oh man, how can I make this go away? I can't walk past these sweet little girls and look like the mean, cheap guy that just doesn't care, right? So I'm going to give them $5 to get my cookies, and I'm going to go on. That's legalism, right? We can give without loving. But you can't love without giving. You can't love without giving. Being generous is the natural outpouring of the life of someone that loves Jesus. That golden rule to love God and love others. God loves us. The natural response is to love others. When we experience his love, it's natural to invest in others. 2 Corinthians 9 in your notes. Those who help will be glad not only because of your generous gifts to themselves and to others, But they will praise God for this proof that your deeds are as good as your doctrine. Paul's saying that your generosity shows that you follow Jesus. You're a follower of his. We truly are blessed to be able to give financially. We're blessed to give our time. We're blessed to give our talents. I think about this church and what has happened over, Sandy told me, 29 years. Pretty cool. 5.5 years here and whatever, 24 years at the Women's Club. James says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. That's just James's fancy way of stealing my key idea for the message. Generosity is love in action. The faithfulness, though, of this ministry to meet all those years of the Women's Club, every week, set up, tear down, those volunteers, if you were volunteers, you are amazing. You are gold to this church. Think about all those lives that were changed. Didn't you guys used to do like the nursery and the bathrooms there? I mean, it's just awful. It's awful. It's making the best of that situation, and it was incredible. I spoke there many times. I'll never forget. Mid-message, and here come the fire trucks. It's like, so awesome that you guys have this property now. It is super cool. And to think that now Bay Cities, because you own this property, will continue on now for generations. This is your legacy. It's pretty awesome. Now, if you were to interview one of those volunteers, they wouldn't say, oh, I just woke up this morning, and I'm going to go be generous. It's not how it works. This church changed their life. And the natural outflow was that from that was, how can I help? Right? That's how it works. It takes the generosity of this little village, all of you, to make this happen, which leads to number three. Generosity shows where your hope is. Matthew chapter 6, 21, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Now, if someone were to interview me, or if I were to interview you, it wouldn't take but a few questions to really figure out where your treasure is. I used to say that if I looked at your schedule and your bank account and your phone records, I could tell you what you valued. But in this generation, I would say I would check your Facebook, your Instagram, your Snapchat, and that would tell me what you value. And this is the point that Jesus is making. The overflow of your life, your behaviors are a result. They come from what you treasure. In Luke chapter 6, it says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. And here's the point. You might want to underline this. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What is your heart full of this morning? What is constantly on your mind? What do you treasure? What is the expression from your life, from what you value? Your behavior is the outflow from what you treasure. Now, about a week or so ago, Jim and Ben Myers, and Ben Bruno, and Kevin Ty all went up north to visit their ranching friend, okay? And for a week or two before they went up there, this is the way Jim thinks. He was putting a home gym together for this guy up north because he knew this guy needed, you know, we're talking about getting in shape, and, you know, Jim is now ripped and skinny. He's skinny and ripped. Jim is. Jim, are you watching? I think he is. And it's so changed his life that he wants other guys to have the same experience. So he literally shows up there with a gym to put in, and this guy had no idea what was coming, right? This is what Jim is thinking about, how he can invest and build into other people's lives all the time. Jim and Sandy showed up, we spent New Year's Eve together. Jim goes, you got an Apple TV? I go, no. Pulls out his backpack. Well, here, now you do. I'm like, just a super generous guy. Here you go. Then we spent 3 hours trying to figure out how to make it work, but that's another story. So when Jim is not saving lives in Guatemala, he's helping out his friends. I'm going to change his nickname from Mr. Skinny to Mr. Generosity. Which leads to number four, generosity will be rewarded in heaven. Luke chapter 16, I tell you, use your worldly resources, circle that, to benefit others and make friends. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. Without a doubt, Jim's worldly resource is the relational gift that God gave him This church was built on relationships and faithful volunteers. Another story is when I was in seminary, there were these two old guys that were students in the seminary that I went to. Unfortunately, I was one of them. But fortunately, there was a guy that was older than me. And I graduated in 2000, so that even seems like a long time ago. But there was a guy there, it was a retired ex-banker, and he loved mission stuff. And it seems like every month he was off to some place in the world to do another missions trip. And he came back one time and he goes, "You won't believe it, for $800, I put a brand new roof on a church." And that has just stuck with me this week, thinking about this message. To think about a church that had a bad roof, now has a new roof, the legacy that leaves in terms of the ministry that can go, can carry on. Some people use their financial resources to be generous, and the impact they can make is extraordinary. What are your worldly resources that you can use to benefit others? Store up a reward for you in heaven. Which leads to number five. Generosity expands my influence. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, it says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy will get smaller and smaller." A life of impact happens when you give your life away. Not because you have to, but because you want to. You can't help it. It's the natural response of a grateful heart because of what Jesus has done for you. You learn a lot about the generosity of people when you do memorials, and I've had the privilege of doing many memorials over the last 20, 30 years. Generous people, this is a generalization, generous people tend to have a lot of people show up for the celebration of their life. And I believe it's right here in this verse. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. And in most memorials that I do, there's a public sharing time at the end where I'll walk around with a mic and I hold on to it so they don't steal it from me and hijack the service, which can be a real bummer. What you realize is with generous people that there's a lot of people that want to share about this guy or this gal because of how they've invested their lives in other people. And I've also seen the opposite happen. I've done some very small memorials. One that sticks out in my mind, one of the most awkward moments in my ministry career. There were just a few family members that were there. And when it came time for the public sharing, when I asked, "Is there anyone that would like to share a story or a memory of this loved one that we're memorializing today?" Crickets. Crickets. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Now, the most awesome memorial I ever did was for a guy that was the high school football coach for 35 years. And the room that we had seated about 400, and it was more than 400 people in the room. Think of the thousands of lives that this coach affected coaching football. I never met this guy. He was the dad of people that had gone to the church. And what I learned from this guy without ever meeting him was that Bill, which was what his name, Bill was a very generous man. And during the public sharing time, as I walked around, and it seemed like it was going to never end, I finally came up to this guy that I'm 6'4", and he was probably 6'6", and he shared a story that he had flown from Nebraska to be here to remember Bill. Because when he was a young man, his dad left the family. And when he got to high school and began to play football, Bill became his dad. And he invested in this guy, and this guy was, you know, had a little bit of gray hair. It'd been a long time since he played for Bill. But he was so emotional talking about how he had invested in his life, how he had taught him what it meant to work hard, what it meant to be on time, what it meant to be disciplined, how to work together as a team, how to go through defeats the correct way, how to savor victories and celebrate together. This guy built character into these kids' lives, thousands of these boys' lives, for 35 years. What a generous man. Pretty cool. Now, I don't think Bill woke up every day thinking, "I think I'll just go be generous today." It's just who he was. It's who he was. And so it is with followers of Jesus. When we connect with what Jesus has done for us, it's supernatural, and it is supernatural, for us to be generous with those in our world. This is what the generous life looks like. Jesus gets a hold of your life. He changes you from the inside out. And before you know it, generosity is flowing from you to your world, whatever that looks like. So before we close, let's make this personal, this message personal. Have you trusted Jesus? Have you made him preeminent in your life? What does that look like for you? Is he at the top of the things that you treasure? What does the overflow of that look like in your life, with your family, in your workplace, with your church family? A closing question for you guys to think about before we watch a little video. How can we add value to someone's life this week to show them that Jesus is really alive and working in our life such that we want to be generous with other people? Let's check out this video and then we'll close. Wow, it's a little tough walking in the dark in here. Yeah. Whew. I'm still upright. That's good. Whew, made it. Wow. Let's pray as we close. Lord, thank you for this time that we could be together and look at your word. And I just pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged this morning by what we've heard, that we might walk out of here and really evaluate our life before you and see how you might want to use our lives to invest in your kingdom, to invest in our families, in our workplace, in our church, and what that looks like for each of us. We're grateful to be here this morning now as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.